Lord, we express our gratitude this morning for your goodness and kindness toward us. Undeserving by our own efforts, you took the penalty on a cross, paid the price, took the keys from death and hell, and opened our tomb also. Today we are risen with Christ and seated with you in heavenly places, and we express gratitude and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Good morning, everybody. So nice to be in church with you. Is the white jacket a bit much? Do you feel? I'm trying to be young. I'm wearing this jacket. I don't know. Is it okay? If you're visiting for the first time, a special welcome to you. Come back next week and we'll be a bit more normal. But this was very special. This weekend has been very special. Two pretty full Good Friday services on Friday. And then this morning, we had to sing longer so we could baptize everybody we wanted to. And we'll baptize again tonight. Could we all celebrate those who went through the waters of baptism, their friends, their family? I also want to acknowledge our church watching online, 300 or 400 connections watching live this morning online, and we acknowledge you as though you're away from the building, but you're part of family, and so hello to the online church, should we say that? And are we on Kingfisher also? Kingfisher FM, the radio station, this is welcome everybody, whether you're driving to or from somewhere or sitting at home. And then, for those of you who don't know who I am, my name is George. Like Michael, I am one of the pastors here at Father's House. I work here. I also have special guests with me in the front row. There's a whole context about that. But I was actually informed yesterday that my mother had wanted to come with for this weekend services. But her health doesn't allow her to travel. She's preparing for an operation next week. And so her brother, my uncle, Uncle Mamas and his friend are here from Cyprus. Kalosorisete. Very nice to have them. They've done all the things that you would love to do in Africa, which we have not done. They went hunting, they shot 37 geese, they got an impala and a borehole. I'm eating geese from now until the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will let you know. They cooked up a storm in my house, they marinated and prepared and they cooked for 2 days and they did many, many things. They raided the garden and they did it all well. And I've been eating like a king for a day or two. I shall have and so it really has been a remarkable weekend, I hope, also for you. I have 15 minutes to share a message I'd like to share with you and have looked forward to sharing. And it was really lovely to spend Good Friday with you as family again. If you are Bible reading or want to look for it on your app, can I just suggest, someone said to me, oh, please tell people. So I will. If you find your Bible on your app, concentrate on the app and don't accidentally let the devil woo you over to Instagram and TikTok. Because the people around you are seeing what you are seeing. And they come to me and they want me to pray for you because of the thing that you are seeing. And so I just want to encourage you. Stay there. Colossians, I'd like to take our text this morning on this Resurrection Sunday out of Colossians chapter 2. Verse 6 says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thanksgiving or thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceitful philosophies which depend on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And this is the kicker, the punchline. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. Would you mind if we did that super cheesy, happy, clappy thing and repeated a word? It is cheesy, but I haven't done it in a few months. Could we repeat that last one on the count of three? One, two, three. Fullness. There we go. My topic of conversation this morning is to explore the topic of fullness on this Resurrection Sunday. But before we talk about fullness, I think it's necessary to set it up by talking about emptiness. Now, I talked to you about the lovely Impala I ate. I want you to know that as I stand here, as full as I was on that day, I am not as full right now. I look forward. I feel a little emptiness of hunger. I feel the need after the service now. I want to thank all of you who sent me photos of your sushi on Good Friday. Apparently, the subliminal messaging worked, and sushi restaurants were overflowing with Father's House people. Thank you for sending me photos. Nobody delivered any sushi, but the photos were very nice. Very nice. Thank you for doing that. But there is a reality, a human condition, that no matter how full we feel in the things of the world, there will come a time when the effect of the fullness will wear out and an emptiness will come again. And there is something about Resurrection Sunday that is both an emptiness and the recognition of it and also the joy of fullness. There is an empty cross and an empty tomb. Even the clothes used to contain Christ are empty linen threads. And sometimes we're tempted to think, if I get just this one other thing, a fullness will come. If I'm single, I need to be married because then fullness will come. If I'm below the poverty line, I need to get above the poverty line. Then fullness will come and emptiness will be addressed. But let me tell you, single people are trying to get married. Married people are trying to find a single gap. Just a gap. Not just a gap. Your man cave and your girl's night out are all a desire to say. Maybe the emptiness that creeps in over time. People without kids want kids. People with kids want to ship them off somewhere. I should be careful. I know the collar isn't working. I ironed it. I'm not good. But there is an acknowledgement that the human condition is such that we must first come to emptiness. And the recognition that temporary things satisfy for a season. But then there is an eternal kind of fullness. And you know, it is tempting to look back to find fullness. I'm sure that the disciples, when they went to the empty tomb, to the tomb, not knowing it was empty, may have said, let's go visit that spot. Let's go have a chat about the good old days. And how amazing it was when Jesus was around. It's tempting to go back and memorialize your favorite moment somewhere in the past. But it'll never be as fulfilling as on that occasion. You have to look up and you have to look forward with a recognition and respect of the past and say, something lies ahead that will be full and fulfilling. And that which lies behind has a hollow emptiness to it. God created seasons for a reason. Things come to an end, but take courage. New seasons begin also. And today is a fresh beginning. The psalmist worded it like this in Psalm 16. I went for a proper Bible translation this time, New King James Version. It says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." All kinds of other joy are appropriate for a season. You laugh at a repeat episode of Friends. You giggle at your own friend tripping over their own feet and landing in something. Those are all funny, but they are just for a moment. There is another kind of joy. The joy that is the fullness of the Lord that meets an emptiness you didn't know you had. And that joy is full. That joy is full. Can you say amen? I find it remarkable that so often people insist that what's missing is what's missing in your life is something they have in theirs that will make you full. But it is not that. It is something eternal and heavenly that creates fullness. And there is a danger, I've just come through this season, of chasing somebody else's definition of fullness. You have to be very careful about that. Because the person telling you that is themselves not completely full. Unless they are fully in Christ Jesus, their fullness is inadequate. One pastor friend, I shouldn't tell you these stories, we'll delete it later. One pastor friend, when I said, what do you think of a single guy leading a church? And they were like, well, no, 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 no. And then I went home and I thought about it and I thought, wait, they've been divorced twice. In their minds, single is worse than two divorces. Like, you know, it's naughty, hey, I shouldn't have said that. I can feel the temperature in the room change. I can feel it's okay, even with this jacket. But the reality is that, and you know, there is a verse in the Bible I learned over the last 6 months. Some people came to Jesus and they said, there's a man out there and he's not one of us. He doesn't do it our way and he's casting out devils. Tell him to stop. And Jesus said, you get on with your life. What is it to you what I'm asking him to you? You just stay in the lane I've called you to. I've got another plan with that one. I'll work with that one. It's very tempting, isn't it? Let me tell you, while I have the opportunity, I think our world is more divided now than it has ever been. And I think we must confront that. Do the hard thing. Be in a church with people of all ages and all races and all economic statuses. Don't be tempted to hang out with people just only like you. Because it is the division of the devil to assume that there is something in that is deep and it is not. The depth is in Christ Jesus. That every tribe and nation and language and people group can declare the goodness of God. And let me tell you why. I want to know that a man or a woman with a road different to mine and a struggle different to mine, found in my same Savior a salvation for them too, so that I might know that the medicine of heaven is true for the rich and the poor, for the young and the old, for the black and the white. I want to know that he redeems the whole world or he is inadequate for my world. Okay, I need to calm down. I need to calm down. Amen. In the book of Ephesians, the concept of fullness is expressed three times. So we're just going to look at those three in the book of Ephesians. If you want to do homework, I mean, nobody does homework, but if you want to do homework, you know, go listen to the book of Ephesians on YouTube. But there are three prayers that Paul the Apostle prays on how to find fullness. And I want to tell you what they are. I think it'll be helpful. And tonight, by the way, it's a night of wholehearted worship. You should totally come. There is nothing on Netflix that you can't watch tomorrow. You can watch it tomorrow. And there's some of that stuff you shouldn't watch. There are so many lies out there at the moment. It's just so confusing. I mean, at this point, it's better to just turn everything off and read the Bible because people are talking nonsense. And so three prayers and principles on fullness. The first one is found in a prayer in Ephesians chapter 1. I pray, Paul says, that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and the incomparable greatness, a great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead, seated him at the right hand in heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Paul says something very important about this kind of fullness. It is the idea that fullness comes when you know that victory is assured. You know, one of the most difficult things to do is go through a time when you can't see how it will work out. To go through something where every strategy you've tried, failed, and every contact person you've called let you down, and every medication you took was empty. It did a little for a little while. But it didn't give fullness. It just diminished emptiness a little. And a lot of people are living lives by measuring how much less empty you are rather than living lives of a cup that runneth over, full and in fullness. And the measure of life is not to measure if you can make yourself less empty. The measure of spiritual life is to make yourself overflow. And so the first idea I want to share with you, for time production, I'm skipping a verse or two. The first idea I want to share with you is that there is a fruit that comes out of fullness. There is a kind of confidence that comes out of fullness, not arrogance. Arrogance is often the false persona that tries to hide emptiness. In an attempt to prevent you from seeing that I am weak, I act arrogant. But there is a confidence that comes from true fullness that suggests, come what may, my identity is in Christ. My future is in His hands. Do you remember the story of Adam and Eve? I mentioned it, I think, to the second service. Sorry, first service, I left out some stuff. But I said it to the second service. What did Adam and Eve do when they recognized they were naked? They took fig leaves and they made clothes. They took their work and said, maybe my work will buy me something that hides my nakedness. Some of you take your hobby. Oh, my hobby. I put it on my Facebook page. I am a this person. Maybe it'll hide an emptiness. And you take that which you do and you put it on yourself to clothe yourself to say, this is my identity. But like any fig leaf, it withers away. It fades over time. And it is not full enough. Ephesians chapter 4 from the Amplified Bible says it like this, that you and I all should work towards this goal of reaching oneness in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, growing spiritually to become a mature believer, and look at this, reaching to the measure of the fullness of Christ, manifesting His spiritual completeness and exercising our spiritual gifts in unity. May I just say, one of the things that happen when you are spiritually fulfilled or full is that you discover you have spiritual gifts and you want to use them. Most people are not lacking participation because they are lazy or rebellious. Most people lack participation because they are empty. But when you are full, participation fully, what do we say? Wholehearted. My heart is full. When you are full, it is easy to serve another. Let me tell you, it's like positive and negative. It's like electrons, ions. It is emptiness, vacuums, like high pressure and low pressure. When you are empty, you spend every transaction in your life in an attempt to get something to fill your emptiness. There is a selfishness to emptiness, and there is a generosity to fullness. You're a negative ion, constantly looking for somebody else to give you a positive because you're empty. Oh, it's nice to be here with you, with the choir going, Kia, you did it. But we are not that. We are fuller than that. Again, I'll skip a verse. I'll post it sometime, I think. I hope. The second idea I'd like to share with you is that fullness is a foundation in your life, not an event or experience. The trouble with finding fullness by staging it is that you have to do one better every time. I found even in church life, you can only get as radical as a certain amount. You can raise a cross, put a man on a cross, put blood on the man, bring the cross down, puncture the air with a powerful note, sing a powerful chorus. And for a few hours, some of you may feel full. But unless you have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior on the inside of you, that fullness will end. It'll be temporary fullness. Because it isn't the foundation of your life, it's an event in your life. And you need to go beyond that, because to those of us who have a foundation of fullness, a rugged old cross on a hilltop somewhere with no music will bring us to the same level of emotional response as a glamorous one with all the bells and whistles and all the staged atmosphere. It still affects us, but we don't need it to be full. It's a foundation. Ephesians 3 expresses this in another prayer. I pray, Paul says, second time he says that. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and that you may know this love that surpasses knowledge, and that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, after that, now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ through all generations, forever and ever. That's a clappable scripture, I think. I must tell you. Production, stay with me. I'm so sorry. Would you jump then to number 3? In order to maintain fullness, we discover something in the empty cross and the empty tomb. Fullness should be worth fighting for. You know, anything that's full quickly finds leeches. Isn't that true? There has to be a wisdom to say, I must fight for that. You know, sometimes during my sabbatical or my time away, I really struggled to fall asleep, you know. I was chatting to a pastor. A lot of pastors were unbelievably kind, more so than any other emotion, kindness. Phoning me, how are you doing? From the city. How are you doing? Come have breakfast with me. And if I didn't want to leave the house, they'd be like, you are coming out to our house. You are having breakfast. And I hope that continues. You know? Suppose I should do that for someone else now. Pay it forward. And I said to a pastor friend, I battle to fall asleep at night. He said, well, what's your 1 hour before bedtime? I said, well, I live alone. I have some water and I power down the lights a bit, but I've recently gotten into like murder mysteries. I'm watching murder mysteries. Like, I almost got away with it. How? Show me. What did you do? Why? I'm glad you didn't. You must go to jail. Now I go to sleep and like I'm running away from a murderer in my sleep and I'm hiding from a wolf and I'm doing all kinds of things. I suddenly realize, wait a minute, I've got a thief. And that thief comes at night and steals my sleep. And I can't blame the fullness. I must blame the thief who comes like a thief in the night to steal my peace. And sometimes we're assuming that God must provide us more than the holes we keep making. Jesus is moving here very fast. A bit slower maybe somewhere, but there. He's moving very fast. There's been repentance twice at least today. You see, it is unwise. There is a verse in the Bible. I'll be done by 10:15. But it's long weekend, eh? And you know, the only thing that I'm disappointed about this weekend, I have only one disappointment, and that is I did not plan well, and therefore I don't have pickled fish at home. It's very bad. No pickled fish, no hot cross buns. There is a verse in the Bible that says, watch out for the little foxes that come to destroy the vine. I just want to tell you something. I've got to tell you one gardening thing. The little foxes don't come when the vines have no grapes. They're not snacking on bark. But you see, the grapes come, and just before they're ready, the little fox sneaks in and takes the fruit of your fullness away from you, and the year's growth is lost. Now you grow spiritually, and you date an old fox. And they ruin what God has grown in you. Now you finally move into middle management, and you let the fox of ambition and materialism sneak in. Now somebody sees you as a sports person or a cool person, often the same. And you've become a little too popular for the boring habit of church. Because somehow in your mind, without using the words, Jesus seems more lucky to have you than you are to have him. And a little fox came. It doesn't have to be a big monster. Stop looking for big monsters. They're obvious. It's the cute little fox. And you invite him in. What does it say in Genesis to Adam and Eve, to Cain and Abel? The fox stands at the door waiting. It can't come in, but you have the door. Fullness is worth fighting for. I conclude with this last clappable. Excuse me. I conclude with this last prayerful instruction of Paul. Must surely also be the last chapter of the book of Ephesians, where Paul fulfills one more prayer. He says, after instructing them to be careful and prays for them that they will not be the victim of a spiritual warfare, he says, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And here's the statement of fullness. And after you have done everything, still stand. Here's what I mean by done everything. After you've been married, you did that. After you've built your business and became wealthy, you did that. After you expressed your interests and hobbies at the best possible level in sport, you did that. But having done all of that, you did it, still standing spiritually. Therefore, the instruction to take a moment and appreciate emptiness, and then on this Resurrection Sunday, to thank the Lord for fullness. I wonder if you would stand with me for a moment. I've felt so compelled. You know, I've been in the front row of a church service for 30 years. And even without my being aware, a fox came in. And it's made me determined that we should end moments like this with an opportunity to fire a shot at an enemy. It was easy to have mental acknowledgement but not know what action to take. And I think the action I'd like to invite you to is, if your emptiness today is so overwhelming that you're aware that you need more than you can put into your soul on your own, you need an eternal investment, a treasure in jars of clay, so that the surpassing greatness may be of God. I would like to pray for you. And it's just a minute, it's just a prayer. It's the last part of the service. It's tempting to just like get to the coffee line first, but that coffee, as good as it is, isn't going to fill you like this. Good as it is. So with your eyes closed for a moment, just out of respect of confidentiality, if you're in that emptiness I've been talking about, and today you realize emptiness is an opportunity to find true fullness. Don't regret emptiness. Learn from it. And you're ready to say, I need to take an action and a step of faith, and my action is to invite a personal relationship with Jesus or a growing relationship an on-fire relationship with Jesus, then I'd love to pray for you. If that's the place you're in, would you do us a great honor and simply acknowledge it by raising your hand long enough for me to see it? The action itself is for no one else but you. I take an action today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Gosh, a lot of people. Church, could we pray a prayer out loud together for everyone to put their hand up? And those of you should have, but you can't even do that right now. Your heart's beating so fast. And I want to invite you, if you want to linger afterwards and talk to a brother or sister who's a few paces ahead of you on the journey and pray for you, you're welcome to do that. We'll linger around here until the last person. But take an action today and then keep taking actions. Little steps until you have fullness. Would you please pray after me the words I pray? That way I'll lead you in a prayer. And repeat after me. Lord Jesus, thank you for an empty tomb and an empty cross and an acknowledgement that emptiness is a real thing. Today, I recognize fullness is a spiritual thing and its name is Jesus. Please come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior, and forgive me of my sins. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, would you give God a shout of praise and worship and thanksgiving? I certainly hope you won't run away, but that you'd be keen to stick around and say hello. Have a wonderful Resurrection Sunday, family. Thank you.